Good afternoon, everyone. It's that time again. Time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and along with me will be a couple of our radio team members in a little while, Megan Kramer and her mama, Betty Thomas. So they'll be joining us soon. So good to be on the air today, as always. As I say so often, we love doing these shows. We love talking about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We love talking about the power of God in our lives. We love reminding you and all those who listen live, and then later on, those who listen, about how great God is and how much He cares for every single one of us. He cares so much for us, and He has a plan for every one of our lives. And so often we find that we are listening to the power of the enemy talking to us so often and saying that God's mad at us, or God doesn't care about our situation, or you know, God's punishing us for something. And that's not the God we serve. The God we serve loves His children. He loves all those that He's created. He's a God of love, and He's a good God. And we want to always remember that He is a precious, precious, wonderful God. We've been in a series now for the last several weeks entitled, Who Is He? And it's based on who God is for us and who He wants to be for each of us. Because so often, we really don't have a grasp on all that He wants to do for each of us individually in our lives, in our daily lives, how He wants to meet our needs, how He wants to encourage us, the God of comfort, the God of peace. He is all of that for us. And so often people go through life and they do not understand how very, very much God wants to interact with them, each of us, on a daily basis, and more than once a day. He wants to just be there and available to you, and He wants you to talk to Him, and He wants to talk to you. We're talking about a God who is personal with us, a God who cares about every one of us. How He can care about everybody at the same time and desire to talk and interact with us is crazy. Our minds cannot even wrap around a concept, the concept of God Almighty, who cares about every detail of our lives and who wants to interact with us and really get to know us and wants us to get to know Him. But that's the God we serve. That's who He is. Who is He? He's the God that cares about you, my friend. He has all good intentions for you. He is not out to punish you, make your life miserable, things like that, because He loves you so very much. So with that intro, we've got a lot to talk about today, a lot, and it's going to be a blessing. Who's on the air with me? Is that you, Betty?
This is BLT.
All right, BLT, how are you? Yeah, bacon, lettuce, and tomato. That's who you are, aren't you?
Yes, you got that.
Yeah, I know it. From Connersville, Indiana, and out there in the field with the tractors, they're getting ready to mow down your fields and give you bales of hay, right?
That's correct. That feeds my ponies.
Wow. You and your husband Joe have a ranch in Indiana, which is a really cool thing, and you have these animals and they need to eat, so they eat hay right off of your own land, correct?
That is correct. We've the Lord has truly blessed us with grass enough for us to feed five horses.
Wow.
As for the last 6 years, and we are just shows you the blessings of God in a different manner.
Yeah, and it's just so cool that God has seen ahead and made provision for your needs like that. and how he does care about every single one of us. If you heard the beginning, I was just talking about who is he. He's the God that cares about all the details of our lives. And that's what we're talking about right here with you, with the horses, feeding the horses on your land there in Indiana. God cares about all the details of our lives, BLT, does he not, Betty Thomas?
He truly does. And, you know, even from the smallest animal to the tallest human or whatever, God cares for us. He cares for us so much. And that truly, I mean, the love of God extends beyond so many measures.
It really does. And we're going to talk about this nature of God today as we explore one of the other aspects of his name and who he is, our Savior, and what that really means. I think so many people equate Jesus the Savior as simply getting fire insurance, you know, so that when they die, they go to that big place in the sky and they don't go to hell. And I think a lot of people equate Jesus being the Savior as just that, just fire insurance, Betty. Don't you think? There's a lot of that out there.
Well, I think that that's, you know, that's basically in some areas of life, that's what's been preached. But I think
this
that
is true.
You know,
yeah.
You read the full gospel of Jesus Christ, that he extends that beyond the cross.
Right.
You know, grace, mercy, forgiveness.
Yes, he
just
does.
I mean, there's so much more that we can talk about.
Right.
But you have to understand that there are so many aspects to God and the love that he gives us.
Oh, absolutely. And so we want to really talk today about who is he. That's our topic. That's our series topic. But today we're going to talk about the aspect of his name that means Jesus is our salvation, our Savior. We've been talking about the names, the word Jesus, the name of Jesus, and that it has five meanings. It means salvation, which is what we're going to talk about today. Deliverance, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Safety, we already hit that 3 or 4 weeks ago. Helper, we're going to get that soon. And last week was prosperer, and what that truly means when God says he wants you to prosper. And really, really have the things he wants you to have, but also be what he wants you to be. And we had a lot of fun talking about that last week, that topic of prosperer. And the hashtag on Facebook for that one is hashtag true success. You can catch that. Didn't get one done this past week on Facebook, but we'll get one done this week on this topic. So let's start right off with a song that it just tells what God's all about, and it is God is good all the time.
God is good and all the time.
He really is, dear audience.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good,
yes, he is,
all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good,
yes, he is.
God is good all the time.
There you go, Indiana style.
All the time, he put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good,
yes.
God is good all the time.
That's right.
If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, he will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you. And his word is true. God is good.
us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercy.
Praise God, God is good. He's good all the time. That's what the song says. So very, very true. And so much as a reminder we need, Betty, from time to time. So often we get hung up in our circumstances and we get worried, we get afraid, whatever the case may be, and we forget that God's nature is goodness. That's who He is, you know? You there, Betty?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, that song, you know, He puts a song in my heart.
Yeah.
You know, He puts joy back in our life.
Right.
You know, where there's been desperation, there's joy. Where there's been lack, there's been provision. And all of those things that, you know, that we're going to talk about today, God is good.
He is good.
He is good, and He's good all of the time. And I know in some circumstances, people feel like, you know, God's picking on me. You know, I don't ever get a break. And when we hear those type of statements, you begin to wonder, you know, we've got to have faith and trust in God, because He has given us more than probably what we even imagine.
Right.
He gives us peace. He gives us comfort. He gives us joy, joy unspeakable.
Yes.
And it's just amazing what God does, and we don't even realize it.
Right.
Because, you know, he's there 24/7, 365. He never takes a break. He never sleeps. So that's a plus for us, don't you feel like?
Oh, yeah. He loves us so much. He's on top of it all the time with us. And I think, you know, this whole thing of learning to really walk with Him on a daily basis, we're going to talk about that today. And it begins with a decision and an action on your decision to allow Jesus to become your Savior. Because a lot of people feel so content and I guess self-satisfied that they don't really think they need anybody to come in and rescue them or save them. Don't you think, Betty, there's a lot of people that feel like they're doing life pretty good as it is. They really don't need a help from a Savior, you know?
Well, I think that, you know, once we get past the ego.
Right.
That you realize that, I know I did back in 1985, I realized, you know, that something was missing. You know,
right.
there was a void. There was a chasm between life and my life, and, you know, things were just spiraling out of control. But the minute that I accepted Christ, where I accepted salvation, I accepted the Son of Jesus in my heart, things changed.
So are you saying that before that you knew about Him, but you didn't mm-hmm. really know Him?
I didn't know Him. I had heard a lot about Him. I knew that because my neighbor, had taken me to Sunday school when I was, oh, probably seven. But they never really explained who Christ was.
Wow.
They were more of the, you know, God is here, God is for us, you know, those type of things, but never truly understood what the word salvation meant.
Wow.
Or it expressed it as fire insurance. That was where I had always heard that term, fire insurance. And it's like, okay, but isn't there more? Well, yeah, but, you know, I was too young to understand. So back in 1985, when, you know, I had heard a sermon on the cross.
Right.
And what it meant. And the blood that was shed.
Mm-hmm.
Why it was shed.
Right.
It was shed for me. And, I mean, it just was almost automatic that, you know, that, you know, is there anyone here who feels like that they want to be a friend of Jesus?
Right.
And, I mean, I ran to the altar. I mean, you can give your life to Jesus wherever you are, but I ran to the altar. And
right.
I asked Jesus, you need me? What can I do? Help me. They probably had to have a wet back after I left the altar.
Because you were just crying, I bet.
I was just my eyes out.
Right.
And I had a very dysfunctional family life. But when I got married, things got easier. But, you know, sometimes life isn't always easy. And
absolutely not.
In 1985, you know, salvation changed my life because I gave my life to the Lord. And it doesn't mean that there won't be swings of low times. There won't be swings in the valley. But there's more times that you're going to be high on the mountain. And he's always there. He's in the lows and he's in the valleys. And he's on the mountain.
Amen.
Because that's where our help comes from. Is
amen.
The one and only Jesus Christ.
Well, you're exactly right. And as I have been praying about this series that we were going to start a few weeks ago, and that the phrase that just kept going around in me is, "Who is he?" Because I really believe that a majority of people, even some of them Christians, don't really know what the power of salvation is all about. A lot of people say, yes, I've lived a good life. Oh, yeah, that's good people. They're good people. You know, they're good. Yeah, they're fine. They're good. But have they had a change in their heart? Has something happened to the inside of them? And I think a lot of people, if they're honest, really don't even understand that concept. And we're going to find a guy. We're going to start with John 3 today. And we're going to start with a guy who knew a lot about God, but did not really know him. Okay? And this is the Pharisee Nicodemus. And in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, who was a prominent leader among the Jews, he was like a scholar, a teacher, and probably taught a lot of the Old Testament. But did he understand who Jesus was? No. But he lived in a time where Jesus came to this earth, so he had an encounter with Jesus. And it says here in John chapter 3 that late one night he visited Jesus. And it's interesting that he chose to come at night instead of the broad daylight. And that was because he had a prominent role in the church, quote unquote. And he didn't want anybody knowing, anybody that were his peers and the Pharisees, the church leaders, he didn't want them knowing that he had gone to have a talk with this kind of wild guy that was out there preaching and healing people, this man named Jesus. He did not want anybody knowing that. You know, Betty, there's a lot of people who don't want people knowing about their commitment to Jesus either. In this day and age that we live in, they kind of hide it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's, you know, they can go into church, you know, be a saint, but come out and act like the devil.
Right.
And one of the things that I think Nicodemus experienced was just being in the presence of Jesus himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that would change anybody's interpretation, anybody's ideas of who Jesus is once that you enter into the presence of Almighty God, that's when you have the heart change.
That's
when things become alive again.
Yes.
That's when there's a song by Michael W. Smith called A Million Lights. It's like that's when the light comes on. That's when the darkness turns to light. And it amazes me of why people, I mean, I wear it on my chest. I wear it everywhere I go. I talk about Jesus. I talk about it at work. And, oh, well, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed, you know, that's not right for you. I said, hey, that's my given right to talk
right.
about who I want to talk about. I mean, I work in an animal facility, and I pray for the animal.
Right.
I'm not afraid of who I am. I am not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And, you know, it's he's done so much for me over these years that I don't, and I always tell my grandkids, let's don't make Jesus sad.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I want to do is I have to be a replica of Jesus here.
Right.
Show his love, especially for my grandkids.
Sure.
I want them to know Jesus like I do. I mean, he's my bestest friend.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk to him like I'm talking to you right now, Pastor.
Right. Absolutely.
That's the closeness of a relationship when you truly have
yes.
Jesus in your heart. I believe that with all my heart.
And that's what God wants for us. And Nicodemus didn't have that. Because you see right here that he calls Jesus a rabbi, which means teacher. And he says, we know you're a teacher straight from God. This is in John chapter 3 in the first few verses, if you're just now joining us. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it. But he does not recognize him as God. He simply says, you know, you're straight from God, but you know what's really going on here? And he doesn't really get it. And Jesus says, it's because you've got to be born again. And really to understand this, and Nicodemus kind of, you know, he really kind of gets into a conversation here with Jesus, because Jesus says in verse 3, you're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom. And so Jesus was saying there is a kingdom, the kingdom of God coming to this earth. God is sending his son Jesus, which was him talking right then. And it's going to change everybody. And Nicodemus is saying, how can that be? How can you go back in your mother's womb when you're an adult and be born again? I mean, Nicodemus really didn't understand. And Jesus says in verse 5 of John 3, you're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person, I'm in the Message Bible, submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. And then he goes on to talk about this wind and how when a baby is born, it's just a body that you can look at and touch, he says. But then that person, that personality begins to take shape in that little creation that God's created. And so he's talking about the wind, and, you know, we can all look out the window right now. I'm looking out the window of Clearwater radio station, and the leaves are blowing in the wind out here. I can't see the wind, but I can see the result of the wind because the leaves and the branches are blowing. So it is, Jesus uses that example about the wind blowing. So it is with God. We cannot necessarily see when God comes into our heart and changes us and makes us born again, but we know something's happened. we know something's happened, just like when we see the wind. Can't see the wind, but it's affecting the leaves of the trees, especially did in September here when we had that hurricane. Boy, were the leaves and the trees and the branches really just moving all around. We could see the effects of that storm, although we could not see the wind itself. Talk to me about all that, Betty.
Well, you know, you're 100% right on, because I know back in, and again, I'll talk about self, is back in 1985, I knew something had changed.
Right, but you couldn't see it happen to you, right?
I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
I couldn't feel it, but I knew.
Right.
Somehow something was new.
Something was different when you invited Jesus into your heart, right?
Right.
Because, but you couldn't see it.
No, and that's what I was talking about, taking a lot of the darkness into the light.
Right.
Is that, you know, when Jesus comes into your heart, there's a lot of things that, there's a lot of good things that replace the bad things, because you want to let the bad things go.
Okay. Hang on. Megan's trying to call in, but she's going to have to call again. See if we can get it. Hang on just a minute. It shouldn't have done that. She should be on there now. You on there, Megan?
I'm here.
Okay. All right. We're talking about this change that happens when we invite Jesus into our life. Because Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about this in John chapter 3. Nicodemus can't understand how you could get born again. And you know, there are people that make fun of that term. But really, it is exactly what happens when you can't see it, but when you by faith invite Jesus to come and live on the inside of you, it changes your insides, you know? Just like I was thinking about this earlier, just like I take a bunch of vitamins every day, okay? I take all these different things. Now, I don't have to take them. I know that I should take them because I've been told by my doctor that I need to take this, this, and this. Okay? So I do that. Do I see it? Do I see it change the minute I take those vitamins? No. But every 6 months when I have blood work pulled at the doctor's office, he says, I can tell you're taking the things I told you to take. Right? Okay? So even though we may not be able to see when we are born again, we know what the point Betty was just making. We know something's happened when we accept Jesus in our hearts. Megan, make a comment on that, and then we're going to do this song. Go ahead.
Well, you're totally right on with that, you know, the illustration that you just gave is, you know, when you're ready to make a change and when you're ready for the Lord to take over your life, you make a 180-degree turn,
mm-hmm.
not a 360. You make a 180 because mm-hmm. he plants you on a new path.
Right.
And that new path, you know, it's not like, it's like you said, it's not like people can outwardly see like that you've had a tattoo or, you know, you've been marked in some manner, but they are going to see a change in your demeanor.
Yeah,
and
they are.
It's so cool.
It is. And see, that's what Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus. Just like a baby's born, at that point when they're born, Megan, you have kids, I have, Betty, we all have grandkids, all that, you don't have grandkids, you have kids. But anyway, when they're born, we don't know what that little personality is going to be like, right? We don't know what they're going to feel and how they're going to be and, you know, their likes and their dislikes and their talents and their gifts. We don't know that when they're first born. It has to develop, you know, but we know that because they're a living, breathing individual, they will have likes and dislikes. They will have personality quirks. They will be act like grandma or something like that. They will have some traits as it develops. And as we develop after we are born again in the spirit by accepting Jesus into our hearts, we should begin to look and act like Jesus. That's what it's about. Listen to this song, and then I'm going to get both of you to comment on that whole concept in just a moment. Mighty to Save. That's who Jesus is. Mighty to Save. He can move the mountains, whatever the mountains are in your life. Our God is mighty to save. That's who he is. And he comes with salvation. What an amazing gift that God sent. I don't know which one of you wanted to answer the question that I forgot I asked you now, right before. Maybe one of you remembers. If not, we're going to John 3:16.
I'm at a loss.
All right, let's go to John 3:16. I love this. One of the most famous verses in the whole Bible, but actually one of the most important verses. And we can all quote it in some translations. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we broke it down this morning, and then we're going to really amplify it a lot more this afternoon, because God so loved the world. That's the basis and the reason for a Messiah. And I think so often people really equate God with punishment, with someone who's sitting up there in heaven ready to pound you in the ground if you're not fulfilling everything that he wants you to do. That is not who God is. God so loved the world. Talk to us, Megan. God so loved the world. Everybody, not just a few people, but everybody. God so loved the world. Talk to us, Megan.
You know, Mom and I were talking about this this afternoon when we were eating lunch, is that I told her, that I said, you know, it's so cool that God created us because he wanted a family.
That's exactly right.
You know, and that's why when we give our life to the Lord, that's why we get to go to eternity, so that we can spend it with him.
Yes.
And so that he's not alone.
Right.
And, all of us that he has created, because we are created in his image.
Amen.
We are meant for that destiny. We are meant to go to heaven.
Right.
You know, and so many people, I think it's so easy to blame God for things that happen, but living life, things are going to happen because this is not heaven. And
right.
part of being human and part of even walking a Christian life is that we're going to have trials and tribulations.
We are.
And I'm going to tell you, the closer you walk with God, sometimes the tougher that it is, because the devil goes into overtime. But through salvation and through becoming a Christian, that's that walk of learning. It's like going to school, is that every day we can learn something new. We can learn something new about our Heavenly Father. We can learn something new about ourselves, because he will show us that we are strong if we walk with him together.
Exactly.
And that's what I think people, there's such a misconception about how God is. And, you know, he is of a caring nature. He is of compassion. There is no one more loving than our dear Heavenly Father. And that's what this show is about.
That's exactly what this show is all about. Constantly to point people to the knowledge, the saving knowledge that God so loved the world, and that includes every single listener. God so loves every single one of us. You know, it's just mind-boggling that he could do that. That he could love all of us. And then he gives everyone the opportunity to understand that love and to say, okay, I accept your love for me, and I accept that you exist. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So let's go to that concept a minute while we're here in John 3:16-17, that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Okay, if we do not believe that God exists, and there might be some listeners out there right now who say, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. I think this is it. This is all there is. I feel sorry for people who feel that this is all there is, because this is only a stepping stone to eternity and where we will be forever and ever and ever. Talk to us about that whole concept, Betty. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Oh, most definitely. I've always considered him my lifeline. It comes at a time when we feel like that. At the onset of salvation, God's giving you a choice. Follow me. Take my hand and follow me. Let me show you what I can do. Let me show you the love that I can give versus the life, the love that you're receiving here. And that lifeline extends way beyond what we could ever imagine.
Right.
Is the consequences of sin. Is death.
Right.
God has given us.
And we all sin. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. So there's nobody perfect. So go ahead.
No, by no means. But that's where forgiveness comes in.
Yes.
And God says, I forgive you, my son.
Yes.
My daughter. You're my, and when you say son and daughter, you think, oh, that's just Pentecostal talk. No, it's not. It's in the Bible. God calls us his children.
Right.
And he means it. He doesn't, it's not just hearsay. It's not just a quote from Facebook. It's not a quote from all of the social media sites. What God says he will do, he will do.
Amen.
His promises are true.
Amen.
That's his promise, his salvation. For eternal life.
Amen. Megan, we're getting a lot of interference. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't have it. I've got full service. It shouldn't be me.
Huh. Okay. We're just getting a whole lot there. Well, with all of that said, there's so often that there. Is it gone? You guys still there? Are you both still here?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, there it is coming up back again. Okay. With all of that said, so often we have a hard time understanding that salvation is not something that is punishment for being bad. We equate it so often with God forgiving us of our sin, which it should be. That's exactly right. But it's a lifeline so that we don't have to live in the past. We don't have to live the old way of thinking. And it says right here in John 3:16 that this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, that's Jesus, his one and only son. This is why, so that no one need be destroyed. And this is not just about hell. This is about being destroyed right now on this earth as we live. And so often, our sinful ways, the old habits, the things that we can't seem to shake, those things are in the process of destroying us on a daily basis and clouding our minds with fear and anxiety and doubt and condemnation and self-pity and all those kinds of things. Those are things that destroy us. And salvation gives us a path to wholeness. To wholeness. Talk to us. Who's Megan? Is it your turn? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Yeah.
You know, if people are feeling that they are of worthlessness, that their life means nothing,
right,
then the answer to that is salvation.
Right.
The answer to that is seeking the Lord.
Yes.
And because that is the only way that you're going to see a change in your life.
Amen.
You're not going to get there on your own.
No.
We are not, here's that old adage, there's no I in team. And
right.
There isn't.
Right.
Because the team that you need is Team Jesus.
Exactly.
And I have walked through many valleys. I've walked through many, many mountains. I've walked on top of many mountains. But, you know, life is tough. But my life is so much more enriched, even during those storms that I've been through.
Right.
Because I have Jesus by my side.
Amen.
You can talk to your friends, your neighbors, your family, and you know there is some solace to speaking to those people. But there is so much peace and tranquility when you are face to face with the Lord.
Right.
And but there is such a valuable transition that happens when you decide that it's time to give your heart to the Lord.
Right, absolutely. You know, this whole thing of salvation, we broke it down this morning in our service, and we were talking about what the word actually means. And the original Greek word is similar to the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word has to do with being wide open and free, that type of thing. The Greek word soteria has a lot to do with wholeness. Wholeness. And so in the Message Bible right here, it says, by believing in him, is Jesus, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Now, the lasting life part has to do with eternity, that when we die, we're going to be with him. And in fact, the Bible says clearly, 2 Corinthians 5:8, that if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, when you die, it says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't hang out in between the presence of God and life here as we know it. To be absent from the body, your physical body, is to be present with the Lord. And the definition of salvation has to do with wholeness, being whole. And so often we are fragmented, we are broken, we are living in the past, we are hurt by people and events around us, we are succumbing to all of that, and we don't even realize we need wholeness. Talk to me about that, Betty, before we do the song.
Well, I think the whole thing is that the need for salvation is...
Here's today's end time.
What is that?
Hold on.
I think you're turning somewhere in your Bible app, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Okay.
Hold on.
Okay. We'll let her straighten that out. Wholeness.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah. I think that the need for salvation is more prominent now than it ever has been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We live in a tough age.
Yeah. The reason being is that Jesus is coming back sooner than what we can realize.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once we have the knowledge and the understanding of what everlasting life is, that will turn a lot of people towards Christ.
Right.
We have a golden opportunity every day to understand why Jesus gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him, again, this word will not perish, but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sealed, a sign sealed and delivered. That's
it is.
The way God operates, his truth, his promises. And that is one promise that I hold so dear and have always realized, is that person who died on that cross. And we sometimes take that for, take advantage of that. We don't realize what happened on that cross. Once we realize what happened on that cross, it can change your life also.
It does, because from the beginning of Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, there were many prophets who told about the fact that there would be a Messiah coming. Okay, that the Messiah would come to this earth, and there were so many prophecies, born of a virgin, all kinds of things, which we'll talk about when we get closer to Christmas. But the prophecies are huge. There are so many things that all had to be fulfilled. And guess what? They all were fulfilled in the person of Jesus. We're going to do this song and then get back to Betty and Megan in just a moment. Jesus Messiah. Oh, love it. Became flesh and dwell among us. That's Jesus. That's who we're talking about today.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Redeemer. blessed Redeemer.
Amen.
Emmanuel.
Let's phase that out. What a wonderful song. It portrays exactly what we're talking about, Betty. This Messiah, Jesus, the intended Messiah that was talked about for thousands of years in the Old Testament before he actually came. Jesus, that's who we're talking about today, the Savior of our souls, Jesus the Messiah.
Oh, you know what? He is our blessed Redeemer.
Amen.
He comes in so many different names, so many different formats, but to me, he's just my best friend.
Oh, yeah. And yeah.
That's what we want for all of our listeners, is for you to have an understanding of who Jesus really is. And
exactly.
That's what this show, has done for the last, how many years have we been on the air?
11 and a half
years, 11 and a half years of proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it's so important that we want our listeners to know Jesus Christ on a personal level, to understand what salvation is. We want them to know him as Blessed Redeemer. He's our lifeline, our living word. Our joy maker, our peace, our comfort. I mean, we could just talk about all of those things in general, but over the course of the next few weeks, we've talked about all of the different things that Jesus is, but most of all, we want people to understand what it means for salvation, and
absolutely,
that's what it's about today.
Absolutely. We're going to talk more. I'll give you a chance, Megan, in just a minute as we get close to the top of the hour here. Please, Megan, if you can, talk about our Thursday night show for a minute, Go Yard, what that is, and invite people to listen.
I would love to.
Okay.
Go Yard is on every Thursday night at 6:06 until 7 p.m. It's a life coaching show that is also interactive, and it's hosted by you. With your alias, your other alias, Mama Mac.
Yeah, my alias.
And, yes, this is Dr. Angel Falzoni, who is a licensed psychologist and a PhD.
Right.
And it's a show you don't want to miss because you can also interact. You can call in. You can text in. And you want to catch it because it is a show about life situations that we all face. And you guys give excellent guidance. And it's awesome. And you need to tune in.
Amen. 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night. And Go Yard means hitting a home run in life. Talk about the prayer team, Betty, real quick, if you will, because you're a part of that.
Oh, yes. The power of prayer. We have a prayer team that are all warriors in the
yes.
spirit realm.
Yes.
The prayer team. We would invite you to send us your prayer request, no matter how big, no matter how small. You don't have to give us your name. You can just say unspoken request. We have so many people who are willing to pray for you and intercede for you on your behalf. All you have to do is send us a prayer request to prayers@bohmglobal.com. We will respond back with a prayer sent out to our prayer team and stand in the gap for you, to be there for you, to pray for you, and to let you know that someone does care and that we are going to the throne of God on your behalf.
Absolutely. prayers@bohmglobal.com. We invite you to use that prayer line and send in those requests. We all have people in our lives we know, maybe casual people, maybe close friends or relatives, that need the power of prayer, because life happens. Sickness happens, hospital visits, all kinds of things, marriage turmoil, whatever it is, you can send that request. You can even not even put your name on it if you don't want to. Just write anonymous. It doesn't matter. Prayers@BOHMGlobal.com. We want you to use that free prayer line. That's for you, for everyone. And as Megan said, get our life coaching show on Thursday nights, because that's all about having living a better life. And we really talk in counseling terms. So things that can help you in your everyday struggles that you have, raising kids and all kinds of stuff. You name the topic, we've done it. The website for Go Yard is goyard2014.org, O-R-G. The website for the ministry is BOHM, www.